I mean, just imagine this for a second, right? Handing over $230 for this massive premium collector's edition box. You get it home, you tear off the shrink wrap, pry the lid open, and there is absolutely no physical game inside.
Right, yeah.
No disc, no cartridge, just, you know, a hollow plastic shell and maybe a slip of paper with a digital code on it that gives your online character, like, a slightly better bank account.
It sounds absurd, right? Almost like a satirical take on modern consumerism or something.
Yeah.
But based on the data we are parsing today, that scenario, it really isn't a joke.
No.
It is the very real, very impending future of interactive entertainment.
Welcome to another deep dive. Today, we have a massive mission ahead of us. We are exploring this really fascinating, 4,500-word exclusive analysis from Taking Game, and we're unpacking what they're calling a monumental macroeconomic shift.
Yeah, the death of the $60 video game.
Exactly. And the trigger for this entire conversation, the thing that kicked this all off, is a highly credible, incredibly detailed pricing leak for Grand Theft Auto VI.
Right.
And just to set the stakes for you, let's look at the calendar, because today is Sunday, June 21, 2026.
Which is crazy to think about.
It is, because according to this exfiltrated data we're looking at, we are just 4 days away, June 25th, from a global pre-order event that is likely going to, well, completely crash digital storefront servers worldwide?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because the numbers leaked from the European retail giant FNAC Portugal are genuinely staggering. We're looking at a base price of $79.99, which, you know, roughly translates to an $80 standard edition here in the U.S.
Right.
And then there is that eye-watering $229.99 to $230 collector's edition.
And we really need to emphasize right out of the gate here that this isn't just about, you know, the pricing strategy of one single video game.
Right.
Even a franchise with this much gravity, this specific set of numbers, it's going to dictate the entire trajectory of consumer entertainment spending for the next decade. Like, if these prices hold, the ripple effects are going to reshape the wallets of every single player out there, regardless of whether you ever plan to set foot in a digital getaway car yourself.
Right. It sets the new baseline. But before we get into those ripple effects, I feel like I have to play devil's advocate here for a second.
Go for it.
Why should we even believe these numbers? I mean, retailers put up fake placeholder prices all the time, right? Whenever a highly anticipated piece of tech or software is announced, you'll see a web listing pop up for like $99.99 just to hold the page.
Yeah, the classic placeholder.
Exactly. So why aren't these just arbitrary placeholders dreamed up by some, you know, web developer at FNAC Portugal?
Well, what's fascinating here is the sheer mathematical specificity of the leak. When retailers use placeholder prices, they universally rely on those highly rounded generic numbers you just mentioned.
Right, the 99.99.
Exactly. But this leak features highly specific, non-rounded European pricing across three distinct tiers. The data shows a standard edition at $79.99, a special edition at $99.99, and that collector's edition at $229,099.
Oh, wow. So it's not just a flat 100 across the board.
Right. That level of granularity implies a finalized corporate pricing matrix, not just a random guess by a webmaster trying to fill a blank field on a website.
And it goes deeper than just the price tags, too. The source points out that these numbers are tied to specific SCACIS stock-keeping units.
Yes. The SKUs are the smoking gun here.
For anyone not deep in retail logistics, think of a back-end SKU, like a digital fingerprint. It basically proves a physical or digital product is actually sitting on a loading dock somewhere or moving through an active supply chain rather than just existing in someone's imagination. You don't just assign three separate, unique digital fingerprints to a rumor.
Precisely. And FNAC isn't some random blog, you know. It is a massive, highly regulated European retail conglomerate. Yeah. Their inventory systems actually communicate directly with Take-Two Interactive's official distribution databases.
Oh, I see.
So when three distinct PlayStation 5 SKUs populate simultaneously, it strongly indicates direct back-end system integration. It means the product is genuinely moving into its final distribution phase.
Which perfectly aligns with the incredibly messy history of this specific project. I mean, this franchise has been hemorrhaging highly guarded secrets for 4 years now.
It really has been unprecedented.
Yeah, consider the historical timeline. It started back in September 2022 with the massive Lapsus hack,
right,
where what, 90 videos of Alpha Source Code were dumped online?
Yep, 90 videos just out there for everyone to see.
And just to clarify for everyone, Alpha Source Code isn't just some pretty concept art. It's the raw, unfinished digital scaffolding. It's like the exposed wiring of the software before the cosmetic drywall goes up.
That's a great way to put it.
And then, in December 2023, Trailer One leaked on Twitter hours before its official debut. Which, by the way, still went on to shatter Guinness World Records with 100 million views in a single day.
100 million in 24 hours. Just staggering numbers.
And finally, we had the official corporate delay announcement in May 2025, pushing the game to fall 2026.
Right. And when you lay out that timeline, it becomes really clear why industry analysts are giving this FNAC pricing leak a 90% probability of absolute accuracy. It fits the pattern of security vulnerabilities perfectly. It fits the expected pre-order timeline, and the back-end logistics are practically airtight.
So if we accept that this $80 standard price tag is an ironclad reality, the obvious question is, why?
Yeah, why risk the backlash?
Exactly. If consumers are already outraged by the current industry standard of $70, how can Rockstar possibly justify asking for $80? The immediate reaction is going to be that this is just pure corporate greed.
And that's the natural assumption, sure.
But the Taking Game analysis points out there is a brutal mathematical reality here, dictated by just unprecedented development costs.
The historical escalation of Rockstar's budgets is genuinely staggering when you look at the numbers. Grand Theft Auto the Fourth, back in 2008, had an estimated development and marketing budget of around $100 million.
Which was huge for the time.
Massive. But then Grand Theft Auto V in 2013 jumped to $265 million. Red Dead Redemption 2 in 2018 hit roughly $500 million.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. The estimated budget for GTA 6 is projected to sit between $1.5 and $2 billion.
$2 billion, with a B.
With a B. They are spending nearly four times what they spent on their last massive release. But what does $2 billion actually buy? Because that isn't just, you know, drawing a bigger digital map.
No, no. They are architecting what analysts are calling a persistent, hyper-realistic living metaverse. A major portion of that $2 billion is being poured into the implementation of ultra-advanced generative AI.
Wait, really? Generative AI just for the NPCs?
Yeah. Yeah, for tens of thousands of individual, unique, non-playable characters populating the entire state of Leonida.
Let's actually break that down for a second, because generative AI in a game changes everything.
It fundamentally rewrites how we interact with virtual worlds.
Right. Because usually, an NPC, a non-playable character, just walks a predetermined path and repeats the same three pre-recorded lines of dialogue about the weather whenever you bump into them.
Nice day for fishing, ain't it?
Exactly. But generative AI means the game engine is actually using massive language models to dynamically write context-aware dialogue on the fly.
Exactly. Every interaction becomes entirely unique to that specific player's playthrough. But the hidden cost of that innovation is infrastructure. To process language models in real time for millions of concurrent players, you need staggering server power.
I can't even imagine the server racks needed for that.
Right. Add in microscopic interior detailing, dynamic weather physics that actually impact vehicle handling, and the back end required to support the inevitable next iteration of their online multiplayer GTA Online 2.0. The overhead is astronomical.
So from the perspective of Take-Two's CEO, Strauss Zelnick, the math of a $60 or even a $70 price point simply doesn't work anymore.
It's mathematically unviable for them.
In fact, he's explicitly argued in recent earnings calls that video games are vastly underpriced for the sheer hours of entertainment they provide, especially when you compare it to, say, a two-hour movie ticket or going to a concert.
Which is a fair point when you look at it purely from a cost-per-hour perspective.
But still, even with a $2 billion budget, testing an $80 ceiling feels like testing fate. Like, you're really pushing what a consumer's willing to tolerate.
It would be testing fate for almost any other company. But this is where we have to introduce a crucial microeconomic concept. Inelastic demand.
Okay, inelastic demand. What exactly does that mean in this context?
Well, inelastic demand basically dictates that a change in the price of a specific good will have minimal to zero impact on the overall quantity demanded by the market.
So reason the price doesn't lower the sales.
Exactly. Usually we only see this phenomenon with essential life-saving items like certain medicines or basic utilities.
Because if you need insulin, you're going to pay for it, regardless of a price hike.
Yeah.
But you're saying a video game is operating on that same economic principle.
Within the entertainment sector, Grand Theft Auto represents the absolute apex of inelastic demand. It has transcended being just a game, you know, it's a cultural gravity well.
A cultural gravity well. I like that.
Rockstar understands that people will absolutely complain online, but the sheer FOMO, the fear of missing out on the cultural conversation, guarantees they will still hand over their credit cards. It is perhaps the only intellectual property in the world that can absorb such a violent price shock and still practically guarantee a $1 billion opening weekend.
And the really terrifying part for the consumer is what happens next. Because if the market absorbs this $80 shock without a catastrophic reduction in pre-orders, publishers like Electronic Arts, Ubisoft, and Activision aren't going to just sit on the sidelines.
Oh, definitely not.
They will unilaterally adopt the $80 standard within 12 to 18 months. The ceiling goes up for everyone.
Which forces us to look beyond just that standard edition and examine those hyper-premium tiers we talked about earlier.
Right, the $230 empty box.
Yeah, the source material dives deep into what this new pricing structure means for the hardcore consumer and the reality of a rapidly shrinking entertainment wallet. We really have to address the paranoia surrounding that $230 collector's edition.
Right, because historically, when you drop almost $250 on a single game, you expect a massive physical box to arrive at your door. You get, like, polyresin statues, functional lockboxes, heavy hardcover art books.
With tactile stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But reading through this Taking Game analysis, the community is terrified about what is actually inside this incredibly expensive package.
This raises an important question about the hollowing out of premium physical media. Consumers are looking very closely at recent industry precedents. Specifically, Sony's highly controversial decision a while back to completely omit the physical Blu-ray game disc from the $230 Spider-Man 2 Collector's Edition.
Still feels completely counterintuitive to me. You are paying a massive premium for a physical collector's item, but you don't actually own the physical media that makes the software run.
You're just buying plastic and a code.
Right. You just get a piece of paper with a download code.
Right.
So the fear is that Rockstar is going to follow suit. You pay $230, maybe you get a nice diorama for your shelf, but you are ultimately just renting a digital license.
And the analysis suggests the fear goes even deeper than just a missing disc. There is speculation that a significant portion of that $230 asking price might actually be tied to artificially scarce digital macroeconomic advantages for the online component.
Meaning what? Exactly. Pay-to-win mechanics right out of the gate.
Exactly. We are talking about day one advantages. Premium digital real estate, exclusive high-tier weaponry, or just massive injections of starter currency.
Wow. So you're essentially paying a real-world premium to enter this digital world already wealthy.
Yep.
That completely unbalances the early game for anyone who only bought the standard edition. But, you know, even if you decide to ignore the online component and just stick to the standard $80 base game, the financial demands don't stop there, because we have to talk about the hardware synergy pipeline.
Yes. The technical requirements of a living metaverse are immense. If you want to run this generative AI-driven digital country smoothly, say, at a stable 60 frames per second with ray tracing enabled, your current base model console is likely going to choke.
It's going to melt. And let's clarify ray tracing for a moment for anyone not familiar. It's a rendering technique that simulates exactly how light bounces and reflects in the real world. So puddles reflect neon signs perfectly. Shadows behave naturally depending on the angle of the sun.
It's beautiful, but computationally terrifying.
Right. It looks incredible, but calculating that geometry in real time absolutely melts older computer chips.
Exactly. Which is why industry analysts suspect the fall 2026 release window is not a coincidence at all. It is meticulously orchestrated to align perfectly with the anticipated launch of Sony's PlayStation 5 Pro.
Oh, the synergy.
It is a masterclass in corporate synergy. To get the premium software experience, you are virtually mandated to buy the premium hardware.
And when you actually sit down and do the math on that, the reality is genuinely shocking. If you combine the rumored price of a PS5 Pro, which is conservatively estimated at, what, $699?
At least.
Yeah.
So nearly $700. Combine that with that $230 collector's edition, and you add in state taxes, you are pushing a single franchise experience well over the $1,000 threshold.
Easily.
Are we officially moving from gaming as a universal accessible hobby to gaming as an exclusive luxury commodity.
It undeniably creates a highly gated ecosystem. It separates the community into distinct socioeconomic classes based entirely on what hardware tier and what software edition they can afford to access.
That's a grim way to look at it, but it's true.
But while the consumer base is dealing with this profound financial anxiety, there is a sector of the world looking at these leaked numbers and reacting with absolute unadulterated euphoria.
Oh, you're talking about the financial markets, the institutional investors who look at a $2 billion budget and an $80 price tag, and they don't see a barrier to entry, but just see pure, unfiltered profit.
Precisely. Following the rapid spread of the FNAC leak, shares of Take-Two Interactive Rockstar's parent company experienced a massive surge in after-hours trading. Institutional sentiment is currently sitting at a strong buy.
No surprise there.
Analysts are actually projecting an additional 5 to 8% upward momentum in share value right before this expected June 25th pre-order launch.
Because Wall Street understands the fundamental math of digital distribution. If you raise the base price to $80, the profit margins on a digital download are astronomical.
Huge.
Even when you factor in the 30% cut that platform holders like Sony and Microsoft take just to list the game on their store, there's no shipping cost, no plastic manufacturing, no warehouse storage fees. It's pure data.
And it is far beyond just that initial $80 digital sale. Financial institutions are aggressively factoring in the infinite lifetime value, or LTV, of the player.
LTV.
To really understand LTV, you just have to look at the previous game in the franchise. It has generated over $8 billion in net revenue since 2013, largely driven by recurring microtransactions in its online mode.
$8 billion. I mean, just to ground that number for you, that single piece of interactive software has generated more money than the entire Star Wars or Marvel movie franchises typically do at the global box office.
It's staggering.
It's an unfathomable amount of capital.
And Wall Street recognizes that if Rockstar can condition the market to accept an $80 entry fee and then funnel those millions of players into a highly monetized, inescapable online ecosystem, the lifetime value of every single user increases exponentially. It just guarantees massive, reliable quarterly dividends for years to come.
But here's the catch, right? Every dollar that goes into that closed ecosystem has to come from somewhere. The consumer wallet isn't infinite. And this brings us to what the sources highlight as the most catastrophic ripple effect of this new pricing era, the potential extinction of the indie game market.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the indie scene isn't just some niche corner of the market. You really have to think of independent studios as the crucial research and development wing of the entire gaming industry.
How do you mean?
Well, they are the ones taking the weird experimental design risks that major studios with $2 billion budgets are absolutely terrified to take.
Oh, right. Because if an indie game tries a strange new gameplay mechanic and fails, a small team loses a few thousand dollars. But if a AAA game tries a new mechanic and fails, a massive corporation loses $1 billion and thousands of people get fired.
Exactly. The major studios rely on the indies to test the waters, and then they adopt the mechanics that work. The ecosystem is totally symbiotic. But an $80 industry standard threatens to destroy that symbiosis by creating a massive vacuum of disposable consumer income.
Think about it like this. Let's say your personal entertainment budget allows you to buy three $60 games a year. That's $180.
Oh, right.
If the industry standard suddenly jumps to $80, you can only afford two games. That simple $20 price hike just wiped out 33% of your total buying power.
It's a huge hit.
It's like a massive $2 billion blockbuster movie sucking all the oxygen and all the disposable income away from the experimental indie theater next door. You aren't going to take a chance on an unknown $20 indie game when you're saving every single penny for the new Grand Theft Auto.
Exactly. When an average consumer is forced to allocate such a massive percentage of their discretionary budget toward a single monolithic title, and potentially a $700 console just to run it, there is virtually no capital left over.
Everything gets hoovered up by the top tier.
And this lack of funding will inevitably starve the innovation pipeline. It could easily bankrupt mid-tier studios, accelerating industry consolidation, and basically pushing gaming further toward a monopolistic landscape dominated entirely by a handful of trillion-dollar tech conglomerates.
So what does this all mean? Let's bring all these threads together. The data from the European Retail League strongly signals that in just a few days, on June 25th, the global pre-order launch is going to officially kick off the $80 gaming era.
The writing is on the wall.
We've seen that Rockstar's colossal, unprecedented $2 billion budget mathematically demands a higher entry fee just to sustain its generative AI and its massive servers. Wall Street is eagerly cheering for these massive new profit margins. But the reality is, the independent market, the innovation pipeline, and budget-conscious gamers are about to take a massive hit.
Yeah.
The takeaway for you listening to this is that your entertainment budget needs serious recalibration, because the cover charge to enter Vice City is definitively going up, and the rest of the industry will inevitably follow.
I want to leave you with a final concept to consider, kind of building off the sheer financial weight of what we've unpacked today. If these massive digital spaces are going to become our primary cultural hubs, and the cost of entry between the hardware, the premium software, and the digital advantages is soaring past $1,000, how long until consumer financing adapts?
Oh, wow.
Are we approaching a future where we start seeing digital payment plans or even virtual microloans specifically designed just so everyday people can afford the passport fee to enter a video game and stay relevant in the cultural zeitgeist?
Which brings us right back to the beginning. You expect inflation at the grocery store. You don't expect to have to take out a digital mortgage just to immigrate to a virtual world. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the numbers, keep questioning the information around you, and we'll see you next time.